Proclaiming more of God's sovereign grace for our time. This is the Message of Grace with Elder Thomas Mann.
And now joining me at the mic is Elder Zach Guess from Memphis, Tennessee.
I'm very glad to be able to speak to you today. I hope it can bring some comfort to you from God's Word. And I'd like to talk on a subject. I'm going to call this Cultivating a Heavenly Perspective. You know, you probably heard it said, a man is so heavenly minded that he's of no earthly good. That is not a correct statement. The man who is the most heavenly minded who ever lived was the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody ever did more earthly good than he. Of course, you may say, well, he was God in the flesh, which is true. But we also have the Apostle Paul, who was a great man, but a sinner like we are. And he could say, truthfully, I have labored more abundantly than they all. Yet he still was a very heavenly minded man. Kind of reminds me of my father-in-law, Brother Tony Macchiavello, who I used to say about him, he had his head in heaven and his feet on earth. He's a very godly man who thought constantly about heavenly things. He's always doing things for other people. And then we think about so many people, even like William Wilberforce, the great English legislator who actually was responsible for the abolition of the slave trade. He's a very godly man. So it's not a correct statement that he is so heavenly minded that he is of no earthly good. Now, I'd like to talk about a few principles before I get down to the scriptures. Having a heavenly perspective, what would it do for us? What would it really do for us? And I've got several things I'd like to talk to you about. One thing, having a heavenly mindset would give us great comfort in a wicked and changing world. And we certainly know that we live in a world that is changing rapidly in many different ways, and it is a very wicked world. And if we realize how fast the world is changing, we won't put our roots down too deep here. In fact, Thomas and I were talking today about a friend of ours who had a wonderful house he built back in 1970. And already that house is dated. It's out of date, and he's going to sell it if there's a possibility. They might even bulldoze it down and build another house. That's just been about 50 years. And I told Thomas there in Memphis, the Baptist Hospital was built back when I was a child. At that time, it was a state-of-the-art hospital. It was one of the fourth largest private hospital in the world. But now, a couple of years ago, they tore it down to rebuild it. So there's nothing in this life that's really sure. And I believe that knowing that God is in heaven and knowing that we have heavenly values and we don't get our roots in too deep, gives us great comfort in the wicked and changing world. I'd like to tell you something a little bit humorous, but it's serious also. I've got another brother-in-law, Brother Tim Cannon, and he was pastor of two elderly sisters, and they were kind of low on their income. And one of the ladies, her portrait's just falling in, and she's worried about what to do about it. She really couldn't afford to get anything done about it, but she really believes strongly in the Lord. And so anyway, one day she got diagnosed to have terminal cancer. And that did bother her, but she had a little humorous side to it. She told her sister, she said, well, I don't have to worry about that porch anymore. And that's the truth. You know, a lot of things, folks, that you worry about and I worry about, one of these days we'll be out of this whole world. We won't have to worry about it anymore. Another thing that having a heavenly perspective would do would cause us to persevere in the face of adversities and difficulties, because we are going to have a lot of troubles in our lives. In fact, Job said, man that is born of woman, in a few days and full of trouble. We all know that's true, who've lived very long. And we're tempted to give up, but as I'll show you from the scriptures in a few minutes, if I have a heavenly perspective, it's going to cause me to really persevere in the face of adversities and difficulties. Another thing having a heavenly perspective does, it gives meaning and significance to our lives. And what do I mean by significance? Well, we all wonder sometimes, because none of us probably who are listening to this program, including myself, are really famous people. So we might say, well, what does my life count? Does it really count? But, you know, if we have a heavenly perspective, as I'll also show you, if we know Jesus Christ, and he's our Savior, and our Lord, and he loves us, our lives have great value. They have great significance. And we need to realize that. We don't have our significance in accomplishments and events and things like that. We have our significance in knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We need to be reminded of that. You know, if you don't have a sense of a value, then we tend to kind of be paralyzed. For instance, if a man had a really important job, he looks forward to going into it every day. But if a man has kind of a mundane job, he might feel, my life's not worth much today, I'm not very enthused. But if we realize everything we do, we're doing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for your glory, I don't care what our jobs may be, it gives us tremendous significance. Another thing that having a heavenly perspective will certainly do for us, it's going to cause us to live godly and moral lives. I'm going to show you that in a minute from the Colossian letter. You know that we're surrounded by temptations all the time. They're getting worse all the time, it seems like. Immorality is rampant. Marriage is breaking down. We're seeing values challenged that we never thought we'd see challenged. And so we're tempted strongly by all the environment. But if we really have a heavenly perspective, I can show you from the Colossian letters, I'll say in a few minutes, that will cause us to have strength to live godly and moral lives in the face of all these temptations. Another thing that having a heavenly perspective will do for us is help us to realize that the right is really winning. Sometimes it seems like wrong is in the driver's seat and wrong is winning. And sometimes God's people even tend to go into despair. It seems like the media is against godly values. It seems like academia is against godly values. And sadly, lately, it seems like even much government is against godly values. It seems like the enemy may be overwhelming, coming in like a flood. But if we have a heavenly perspective, ultimately, the good is going to win and come out. And we're on the winning side if we're on God's side. We need to keep being reminded of that. Another thing that having a heavenly perspective does, it gives us courage and comfort in the face of terminal illness and death. That is, our own lives or even the lives of our loved ones. Many people out there have already got bad news or will get bad news. I may myself. You have a terminal illness. And you know, if this life only, I have hope, Paul said, then I'm of all men most miserable. But this is not the only life that Christians have. They know this is really their temporary life. This is really their just a pilgrimage. And so we know we're going to a much better place. And so we can face death. The last enemy is death. And Jesus Christ has overcome that death. And he's right now on the other side of death. And he was the first fruits of them that slept. And I heard an old preacher preach one time a great sermon. Because his grave is empty, our graves also will be empty someday. So having a heavenly perspective will give us great courage and comfort in the face of terminal illness and death. And then probably, in fact, certainly, the most important thing that having a heavenly perspective will do for us, it will cause us to give glory to God. And that's really our highest calling. You know, a lot of things in life may be important, but for a Christian, the most important thing we can ever do is to glorify God. In fact, the Apostle Paul had a really strong desire there in the Philippian letter. He said his great desire was that Christ might be magnified in my body, both by life and by death. So if we have a heavenly perspective, we will be glorifying God no matter what our circumstances and life may be. You know, you may be called to glorify God on a bed of illness. One way people can glorify God is by, and I'm not saying we're supermen and superwomen. I'm not saying we won't have down times and don't need to feel guilty about that. But when we face real difficulties in life and react in the right way, that glorifies God. Some of you people who are older may think, well, my life is over. My life does not count. But that's not true at all. In fact, I've got a dear mother-in-law who her husband died 18 years ago, and she's getting pretty old and pretty bad health. But I told her, though, they said, Patty, you have really glorified God in your life since the granddaddy died. You have been a glorious, you've been a wonderful widow, godly widow. And she's had a lot of downtime. She misses him still and looks forward to seeing him in glory. But she didn't quit living when he died. And so that's a good way to glorify God. Now let's go to the scriptures and try to illustrate some of these points that I've made. In the first place, I'd like to go into the Colossian letter, which is one of my very favorite scriptures of all, about having a heavenly perspective. So let's listen to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll go through verses 1 through 4, and then there's a transition into verse 5. So let's look at this. Now, what we're talking about, remember, we're trying to actually cultivate a heavenly perspective, and we need to cultivate that. By being in the scriptures and being in prayer. So here we go now. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Think about that. He's sitting right there at God's right hand today, in this very time in which we're talking. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a great promise that is. Look at that again. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's having a heavenly perspective, setting our affection on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Well, what practical effect does that have? And so we go down to verse 5, and there's a transitional word, therefore. He says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He named a group of sins there. Most of them have to do with morality. And isn't it amazing? He says, since you do have this heavenly perspective, that will affect the way you live here on earth. You know you're going to see the king one of these days. So you're going to mortify. That means put to death is a strong word. Mortify, therefore. And that therefore goes back to those first verses we considered about setting our affection on things above. So having a, if I've got my mind on heavenly things, then when the worldly temptations come, they will have near as much effect on me. Another scripture that teaches the same thing in a glorious way, like the Bible is full of this wonderful concept of cultivating a heavenly mindset. Over in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about how tough life really is. And look what he says here in one place. He says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Oh, what a tough life. But then, what are we going to do about all that? And Paul says, we're not going to faint. We may have a fainting time. We're not going to totally faint. And here's why. He says in the last couple of verses of this wonderful chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, that light affliction may seem like a heavy affliction to us. And in the moment may seem like a lifetime when we're in pain. But what God's doing here is he's looking at it from his perspective. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But look at verse 18, which is talking about we can have this tremendous endurance because, he says in verse 18, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. A child of God has the gift of faith, which is a sense by which he can ascertain spiritual things. So look at that again. Look, we got to look at things that are seen. I realize that, but he means ultimately. We're going to endure, and more than endure, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, those eternal things where Christ sits at the right hand of God. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. So that's the way we're going to make it, folks, by keeping our eyes on those unseen things. You know, this earth's going to burn up one of these days. But like the pastor who baptized me many years ago, talking about the truths in the Bible, he said, these truths will stand when the world is on fire. That is certainly the truth. Okay, another scripture will be the last verse of 1 Corinthians 15. That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. And you Bible readers know that's the great chapter on the resurrection. He talks about the wonderful resurrection. And again, Paul said, if that's not true, the resurrection is not true, our faith is vain. That's what Christianity really sits on, the foundation of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul talks here again about death and how Christ has conquered that last enemy, the death. So let's read those last two verses of 1 Corinthians 15 and see how this gives us, this heavenly perspective gives us tremendous strength in the life we live now. Look at this now. After he talked about the resurrection, he says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Many of you dear readers out there, I mean dear listeners, I know you sometimes think your life has been in vain, but I'm telling you, if you've lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, your life has not been in vain at all. And that will give you strength to go on. The devil will tell you, well, your life is vain. It doesn't count for anything. But that's a lie of the devil. So we can keep on in being strong because of that. And let's look now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the reason I say that, the 2 Timothy is an interesting book. It's the last book that Paul wrote. And Paul had lived a very fruitful and productive life, but also a very difficult life. Now, at the end of his life, it looks like he had been defeated. We know he had not been defeated, but it looked like that. Many of the people who he had ministered to, even many of the churches he had started, turned against him. He even had to say in 1 Timothy chapter 4, all they in Asia be turned away from me. And even one of the men had been his friend, he had called him by name. He said, Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. But Paul is optimistic in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And by the way, he's fixing to die a martyr's death, history tells us. But he's not down at all. And I don't want you to get down at the end of your life either. If you try to live the Lord, look what Paul says. How triumphant this is as he has his heavenly perspective as he faces death. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Isn't that wonderful? And you can have that kind of confidence at the end of your life also if you live for the Lord. And finally, the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the entire book, has always been a precious book to Christians who have been suffering, because the ultimate story of Revelation is we are winning. Not that we're going to win. We will win, but we are winning even now. And that the 21st chapter of Revelation talks about God is going to wipe away all of our tears. I like to preach a sermon sometime on God's big old handkerchief. Folks, God, one of these days, is going to wipe away all of our tears. That's a great victorious saying there in Revelation when the saints of God, blood-bought saints, saved by grace, secure in Jesus Christ, entire redeemed family of God, all the troubled over, will be together, glorifying God for an eternity, never come to an end. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we shall have no less days to sing God's praise when we first begun. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will all the toils of life repay. So get your eyes on Jesus Christ, have a heavenly perspective, and live a godly and productive and fruitful life. May God bless you is my prayer.
And we've been listening today to Elder Zach Guess, my father-in-law for now over 18 years, and a wonderful godly pastor in Memphis, Tennessee, Grace Chapel, Primitive Baptist Church. I hope his message today has been a blessing to you. I'm going to follow up with a question in just a moment, but let me just mention right here that you are invited to worship on the West Virginia side today at the Mount Zion Primitive Baptist Church at Roncevert. Of course, as always, it's wise to check with someone in authority regarding weather issues, since we do record these programs in advance. Mount Zion is located on Horseshoe Bend Road, just south of Roncevert, and the service this morning is at 10:30. Also, the Indian Creek Primitive Baptist Church at Greenville, West Virginia, meeting today at 10:30 as well. Brother Zach, I was just thinking about, as I listened to your talk there, the fact that you have sought over the years to cultivate heavenly mindedness just as a personal thing and not necessarily in your profession as a pastor, but just you as a Christian and a person that stands or falls before the Lord on your own. Just wonder if you'd be willing to share a few of the techniques that you have employed over the years in seeking to cultivate this you've been talking about.
Well, Thomas, the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 11 that one of those old patriarchs, he survived as seeing him who is invisible. And the only way we can see him who is invisible is through the Scriptures. So the best thing I've ever done to cultivate heavenly mindedness is reading the Bible, but also memorizing Scriptures. When you memorize a Scripture, you got to think about it, every detail in it. I had a lot of joy in just memorizing things about God being at, Jesus Christ being at God's right hand there. Like, you know, He really is there today. I believe the God-man, the actual Jesus Christ is right there. And like over in Revelation it says, talking about the angels, they rest not day and night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And when I can think about things like that, it gives me a proper perspective to know again that the life I live is a temporary life now. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm traveling home, and the roadmap home is the Bible. So that may be kind of a simplistic answer, but I believe the best technique anybody can develop heavenly mind is just be in the Scriptures. You know, that sounds awful simple, doesn't it? That's back to the basics. We need to be in the Bible on a daily basis. Even a preacher, I've been preaching now for almost 50 years, but I can't run on past blessings. I've got to have constant communion with God every day. So spending time in prayer and reading the Bible, but especially memorizing Scriptures, that has been the best thing I've done to cultivate heavenly mindedness.
And thanks, Brother Zach. That's great counsel to all of us, no matter where we are in the Christian journey. I was thinking about the fact that Christians live as if they have a citizenship in two places. They, of course, are citizens in this world because we are born in this world and we live out our days here. But we also have a citizenship in heaven. And as those who are born from above, we live with this eternal perspective, this priority on heaven and heavenly things. And so the values of heaven come down to influence the choices that we make on earth. And I so appreciate the way you've brought that out today. Again, you're listening to The Message of Grace. I thank you all for being with us today and hope that you can come back again next week. I'm Thomas Mann, inviting you back when we declare God's amazing message of grace.